For the rest of us, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 18? We're going to read verses 21 through 35. I want to talk with you today about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we all want from others, but it's also something that we hesitate to give all too often. Is that true? We're going to talk about that today. Look at some scripture and maybe get ourselves a little further down that road of sanctification. How about it? Getting to read in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I'll pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes and open our hearts to the truths that are found in the scriptures that we look to today. We welcome your Holy Spirit to lead us in all truth, Father God. I pray that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary and that you just step forth and reveal yourself and put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for today, for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do you respond to mistreatment and injury? All of us have to admit that when we are mistreated, we find it difficult to have the mind of Christ and to demonstrate the Spirit of Christ toward those who mistreat us. But responding with anger, hostility, bitterness, and retaliation is the devil's way of destroying your home, your family, and your fellowship with others. The enemy is real good at giving us excuses to be angry at someone and not let it go. He wants us in that place because where there is tension and disunity, the Spirit of God will not flow. Did you hear what I said? The Spirit of God does not flow where there is disunity and strife and the whole list of things we just brought up. And so the enemy doesn't want the Spirit of God flowing, does he? So he orchestrates things, gives us reasons to be offended, and then tells us we have a right to be offended. And to try to get us to not let go of it. So the first major point we want to look at this morning is dealing with the pain of being mistreated. Every human being experiences mistreatment from others. How we deal with this will, to a large degree, determine our total well-being in life. Even the secular world, doctors and so forth, that don't even know the Lord, they've done studies at what unforgiveness and stress does to people's health. When people walk in unforgiveness, there's that constant stress. And it affects your health in many, many ways. I'm no doctor, but the stuff I've read, it affects our health in huge ways. So, for our own health, for our own good, it is better that we forgive. Some have suffered law abuse and mistreatment by their parents or by others in positions of authority over them while they were young and helpless. Many people experience repeated mistreatment in marriage. A man by the name of Dr. David Mace has affirmed that marriage provides the occasion for the experience of anger more than any other relationship in life because of its length and the close relationship it represents between two human beings who at times may threaten one another. That's what Dr. David Mace has to say about the marriage relationship. How many would admit throughout marriage you had to decide, I'm going to forgive him or I'm going to forgive her? Because you have to, because otherwise, a healthy way of dealing with it is not the silent treatment. Okay? It is also not screaming at the top of our lungs. Parents often experience painful injury through the immature and selfish conduct of their children. Can I get a witness? It hurts us deep when we see our children make lousy choices. I'm just going to say it that way. Making lousy choices. Especially when we've had that discussion with them. Isn't that true? It's like, well, what were you thinking? I talked to you about that many times because I went down that road and I was open with you and that I made that mistake. And I heard more than once in the process of raising our children, well, yeah, but I didn't see you do it. So I had to check it out for myself. As a parent, many experience pain and agony because of the stupidity and selfishness of siblings. We do a lot out of ignorance, don't we? Many people experience pain in their jobs where they earn their living. How many of you have ever had a job that it was hard going into work almost every day because you had a tyrant over you or a coworker that was a lazy bum or whatever the situation is. How many of you have lived that? And then you have to forgive. Let me put one out there. When I was in business, part of being in business is dealing with the fact that some people are never going to pay you. You've worked hard. In my case, it was auto repair. You've worked hard. You put in the time. They're driving around with your parts or your tires on their vehicle, and they don't pay you. Okay, now let me take that up a notch. Now, when you go to church, and one of the people that didn't pay you is a person that's an elder in the church, And they're up handing out communion on Communion Sunday, distributing communion to the congregation. And you know full well, if you've been around here for a while, because I make it abundantly clear, that we want to make sure our hearts are right before we take communion. Is somebody on the same page with me now? And then you have to decide, am I going to be able to get my heart right about this person and forgive them? Or am I going to have to abstain from communion? Because those are the two options. One of them is going to happen. Because I don't want to eat and drink judgment unto myself. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is real stuff. This is real in the trenches stuff, guys. See, the reason I know that story so well is because I lived it. I lived it. And I never did get paid. And it wasn't because there was any problem with the work. It was just a decision, I'm not going to pay you. Okay? So I had to forgive. It was hard. Did anybody ever tell you one of the ways you can tell if you've forgiven someone? What do you feel when you see them? What do you feel inside when you see them? Is there still that thing in there that wants to see them harmed? Or maybe you want to throttle them? If that's the case, you haven't forgiven them yet. Peter must have experienced discomfort and injury within family relationships because he came to the Lord with the question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? I'll bet you, old Peter, you know, you got to love him. I love him. He's an inspiration to me because I'm a screw up too. You know? But every once in a while, Peter got it right. And that encourages me because every once in a while I get it right. You know? So it's an encouragement to me. But, well, Peter, you know, I'm sure when he went to Jesus and asked this question, he probably thought he was being pretty good asking, should I forgive him 7 times? Hey, that's a pretty good number. That's quite a few times. And Peter, you know, he's standing there waiting for the answer from Jesus, and Jesus comes forth with an answer he did not expect. No. How about if you forgive him 70 times 7? What? 490 times? What in the world? And you know what? Over the years, I've run into people that take that literal and they're writing down. If you're keeping track, you're not forgiven. Second major point. The teachings of Jesus regarding forgiveness. Our Lord comes through crisp and clear how we are to deal with injury and mistreatment. Our Lord specifically forbids retaliation. We are to avoid being vindictive and revengeful. We're to avoid striking out and returning evil for evil, curse for curse, blow for blow, injury for injury. I struggle with that one. If someone puts their hands on me, is anybody else like that here? We're all good until somebody puts their hands on me. And then things are probably not going to go well. I'm just telling you who I am. And you know what else? If they put my hands on my family,
that's right. Yeah.
That might even be worse. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm telling you is I haven't arrived. I'm in the process yet. Because I'm come to a place where I can tolerate someone putting their hands on me. You know what I'm talking about. In a mean way. We had a prophet here years ago, and he stood right in this pulpit and said, yeah, he said, I was preaching at a place, and a guy full of the devil come right up, climbed up on the stage and punched him. He said, and he was a pretty good sized guy. He said, I did what scripture said. I turned him the other cheek. And he hit that one too. And then it was my turn. And he throttled the guy right there on stage. And he told us about that. So I'm not in a lonely group. You know what? It shouldn't be allowed for a person to climb up on a stage and punch a preacher. So there's times, you know what I'm saying, that I think maybe God probably goes, but he understands. You know what I'm saying? Our Lord does not suggest that we suppress hostile feelings and ignore the injuries and mistreatment that we experience at the hands of others. To do this would create a poison within our minds and hearts that would eventually produce an eruption. See, what that's talking about is stuffing. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say stuffing? You just keep stuffing things down, the offenses, and keep stuffing it down. And when we do that and we don't deal with it the way God has called us to deal with it, eventually there's an eruption. Some unsuspecting soul that does one little thing, but it was the final straw, and boom! We don't want to be that person. Amen? We don't want to be that kind of people. The Lord does not suggest that we retreat into self-pity, which can lead to discouragement, despair, and depression. We've all had temptations to be that person. Nobody loves me. Everybody mistreats me. Every time I put myself out there, somebody stomps on my heart. Right? That's not the way God wants us. He wants us to be free and open and putting ourselves out there for people. Our Lord specifically places on us the obligation to give the gift of forgiveness to those who mistreat us. We often find it difficult to be forgiving because we have a natural impulse to retaliate. We may find it difficult to be forgiving because we labor under the impression that to be forgiving may encourage continued mistreatment. Oh, is that a true statement or what? Down deep in us, we kind of have that idea. Well, if I let this go, and they're not held accountable, then they're just going to keep doing this to me. Now, making that statement, I need to also make this statement. I don't think God or anybody else has called us to be anybody's doormat. All right? Jesus was the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And he went like a lamb to the slaughter and uttered not a word. That was him. Okay? We are not supposed to be a doormat for someone or a punching bag for someone. Do I know? Am I making myself clear? Now, there might be preachers that would disagree with me. That's okay. They can be somebody's punching bag. Not this guy. God gives us the gift of forgiveness If we wait until someone deserves forgiveness, we will always harbor feelings of anger and hostility toward that person. Let me add to that. If we wait for a person to apologize before we extend forgiveness, there's a problem. Because the first problem with that theology is many times people don't even know they've offended us. So waiting for them to come and ask forgiveness when they don't even realize that we're offended is futile. Secondly, there are people that know that they've offended us, but they don't care. And they're not going to care. And they're not going to come to us and ask forgiveness because they just straight up don't care. Can I get a witness? How many of you know? You've not run into them kind of people. So we just need to learn to deal with it the way God said to deal with it, right? We got to come to the place where we just let it go. One of the hardest things for me, I'm just going to be vulnerable here. One of the hardest things for me to deal with is when people are spreading false things about me. Listen, if I've done something wrong, I'll own it. I'm a big boy. I can own my faults. But I have a hard time with people that lie about me or lie about my wife or lie about my family. That's a hard one for me to deal with. But that also we need to forgive for. But that's I'm just being vulnerable. I'm just telling you, that's a really tough one for me. I got to work at it. You know what I'm saying? And most of these things, we got to work at it. Yeah. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come natural. What comes natural, as we said earlier in this message, is retaliation. Jesus not only taught, but preached the habit of forgiving. While on the cross suffering for a guilty people, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was on that cross not because of anything he did, but because of the false testimony. The propaganda about him is what put him on that cross. Right? He had done nothing wrong, but yet he was on that cross. Well, we've all been on crosses. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me daily." We've all been on those crosses that are of other people's making. But God is our vindicator. Always remember, God is our vindicator. Third major point. The rationale for being a forgiving person. When Jesus commanded his disciples to give the gift of forgiveness, 70 times 7, he was thinking of the terrible consequences that would take place in the hearts of the injured if they refused to forgive. Jesus, with perfect insight into human nature, knew that hate in the heart would be like a cancer to the soul. I have an old video in my office. It's grainy, there's noise in it. But it's the testimony of a pastor in Africa from years ago. What happened was this pastor left for work, went on his way, something happened with the car, and he hit a great big tree, and he was killed outright. Well, this pastor landed in heaven. But first, Jesus spoke to him. This was one of those God appointments. He said, I'm a pastor. Why am I going to hell? Jesus said, remember this morning before you left for work? You had a fight with your wife. Bad one. And she begged your forgiveness and you wouldn't give it to her. That's why you're going to hell. The reason we know this testimony is because, I can't give you the whole story. I'm sorry, I don't have time to do that. But long story short, his wife went and got his embalmed body from the embalmers and took him on a gurney and was rolling him through the streets, the dead body. And she found out Reinhard Bonnke was there. Some of you may know that name, Reinhard Bonnke. God used him for years in Africa, did all kinds of miraculous signs. Long story short, they wouldn't let her bring that dead body up into the meeting, but they let her put the dead body in the basement. And they started praying over him and rubbing his body, and they started smelling formaldehyde. And after a period of time, he started moving. His heart started pounding. Now, we're talking about an embalmed body here. There was no blood in his body. Long story short, he sat up on the gurney and ended up climbing off of that gurney. God sent him back with this message about how important forgiveness is, because he was going to go to hell because he wouldn't forgive his wife that morning. This was a pastor. And you might say, well, Pastor Wayne, how do you know that scripture? Because Jesus said, if you will not forgive your brother who has sinned against you, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. If you can't be forgiven, you can't get into heaven. And it gets quiet in church when you preach these things. So it's serious, guys. It's really serious. Forgiveness is a huge issue. We are to give the gift of forgiveness because we have received the gift of forgiveness. That's it. Yeah. We've received it, so we're supposed to give it. Yeah. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Paul says, writes to the church in Ephesus, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There it is. There it is. We need to consider the terrible cost of an unforgiving spirit if we have difficulty giving the gift of forgiveness. Giving the gift of forgiveness is not a price we pay to receive forgiveness. Those who harbor hate and wrath in their hearts have closed the door through which God's forgiveness would come to them. Did you hear that statement? So it's not that God has closed the door, it's that we have closed the door to His forgiveness through our own unforgiveness. Does that make sense to you? Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Matthew 6:14-15. Just want to show you in Scripture what I quoted earlier. It says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." There it is. It's not "thus says Pastor Wayne." This is God's Word. That should shake us. Right down to the core of our being. We must give the gift of forgiveness in order to prevent Satan from establishing a stronghold in our lives, literally in our thoughts, a stronghold in our minds. The enemy builds strongholds in our lives through unforgiveness, and strongholds are hard to break. Not impossible, but hard to break. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. Says, "If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes." Once again, there it is, God's Word. Like I've always told you, if I tell you something, I'm going to turn around and show you in God's Word. Because at the end of the day, it don't matter what I have to say if it's not based in God's Word. God's Word is what stands. And man, this is radical. "Forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us." It's literally talking about might not build strongholds in our lives. A forgiving spirit will bring healing to the injured person. Many people quiver with pain because they have been mistreated and sinned against. Jesus speaks to us and says we are to forgive 70 times 7. Every time we are hurt, we need to give the gift of forgiveness again. Some misunderstand at this point. They think if you do not forget, that you have not forgiven. In reality, it is impossible to totally forget. On the other hand, if we forgive and do it repeatedly, for all practical purposes, we will forget to the point of no longer harboring hate or striking out in retaliation. It gets tougher and tougher when we have to forgive repeatedly. When a person continually hurts us, it gets harder and harder, doesn't it? But not impossible. God gives us the strength. Let me tell you something, guys. There's great power in turning a person over to the Lord. "Lord, I'm struggling." Just be honest with God. "Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm hurt. It has made me angry. I feel betrayed. I feel this. I feel that. Lord, help me. Help me with this. I give this person over to you to deal with, because you are righteous and you are holy. So you deal with them. You deal with it, Lord. I can't carry this anymore, nor do I want to." That makes sense? In conclusion, God's forgiveness is free, complete, and forever. Oh, man, it don't get better than that. He doesn't hold our sins against us. He offers forgiveness to each of us personally. On the basis of His forgiveness, we should be forgiving toward others. If we have been holding a grudge against someone, you can restore a clean heart and a clear conscience if you ask the forgiving God to help you forgive that person or people that have wronged you. Well, that was our message today. I intentionally tried to get done a little early. By the way, I'm going to try to get done a little early next week, too, because we have a church picnic. I'm going to try to preach shorter. But I did today because God put on my heart to open this altar up. You know your heart. This is what I'm asking. If you know that you've been dealing with unforgiveness and it's an issue in your life, come to this altar and let's pray together and deal with it. Let's take care of it. This is church, guys. Nobody's going to look down their nose at you. Because this is an issue, truthfully, for everybody. It's an issue. So I invite you, be honest with God. Yes. I invite you to come to this altar and we'll pray. Father, I thank you so much for your mighty works. Thank you for the work you've done in our hearts today. Thank you for those that have let go of things that have kept them bound for years. And I thank you, Lord, that those that have let those go, that Satan doesn't have that stronghold on them any longer. We thank you for that, Lord. And now, Lord, as we leave this place, we just pray that your light will shine through our lives and that, Lord, you will use us to be a witness in our circles of influence, that you will bring us back safely next time to worship you, to learn of you, to literally become more like you in spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.